What? Ain't no fucking zombie takeout here, man! What's up? Welcome to episode 13 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And I'm hoping we don't run out of things to talk about again this week, because it seems to happen when we both really like a movie, and I don't know about you, Scott, but this is one of my all-time, like, top 10 favorites.
Well, let's see. I will start, of course, with my plot summary.
Well, we should say, of course, we're talking about the great Amazon Women on the Moon from 1987.
Did we not mention the movie title last week?
I think we did.
Okay, I was just trying to remember that. All week long, I've been like, did we do that? Yeah. So, without further ado, I will give my plot summary for this movie, and it looks like I get to take the week off, because there really was no plot.
Not exactly. Or there were lots of little plots, depending on how you want to look at it.
It's this pretty much a sequel to Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yes.
And which it's just, you know, skits linked together. Sort of like you're watching a B-movie late night on television, and things keep going wrong, so they keep putting other commercials or shows up in its place, and then you kind of muddle your way through the B-movie. So, I pretty much get the week off of the impromptu
summary. Yes.
Summary. Huh. I'll lean back and relax now. Yeah.
I'll fill in a bit. It starts with what looks like your typical, you know, 70s, early 80s action movie. Plane landing, you know, big, you know, has, you know, urgent score. Car pulls up to an apartment building, guy gets out, goes to his apartment, and then it's a comedy of errors.
The opening kind of reminded me of the opening to Heavy Metal, in a way, where it was this, you know,
yeah,
big, you know,
kind
mysterious
of
thing going on, and it was just some dude coming back to his house.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. And then it's this huge comedy of errors starring Arsenio Hall.
Right.
Personally, I think that's my favorite part of the, that's my favorite of the vignettes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it was some pretty good physical comedy there that Arsenio does get off. And kind of wonder why he, really, I think he got locked into the talk show host thing a little too early. And
yeah,
should have tried sticking with film if he could have. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's just me, maybe. So, my favorite, if we wanted to go in with favorites here, to continue on that theme, ooh, it's a toughie. there are two really, really good skits here. I'd have to give it to Bullshit or Not.
Mm-hmm. Yes. One of the best lines.
The whole thing.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
yeah.
The setup, I mean, it looks like the intro to In Search Of.
It's basically a parody of In Search Of, mm-hmm. where they suggest that the Loch Ness Monster and Jack the Ripper are one and the same.
Yeah, I mean, I was even doubting if we should have given that away, because, I mean, it's just a nice, if you haven't seen this before,
yeah,
it's a nice surprise that old Nessie is,
Jack,
has been busy. But yeah, that was just, that's just a wonderful skit. I mean, I don't think SNL has done anything that good.
No. SNL never touched any of this, I don't think. Which is part of the genius of it, because this is straight-up cult movie. There's nothing
yeah.
B about this one.
Oh, right. They had Michelle Pfeiffer in it, for Christ's
sake.
Well,
the director's list. Joel Dante, Carl Gottlieb, Peter Horton, John Landis, and Robert K. Weiss.
And, of course, John Landis directed the first, you know, the Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yes. And I think did Landis produce this one, too?
I think so. It was either that or Samuel L. Bronkowitz.
Yeah. Well, that's the running gag. That's because that's all that continues from Kentucky Fried Movie.
Right. My favorite, of course, reference dropped in that he's signing the Declaration of Independence. Well, they say you get, the Cosmopolitan Museum of Art.
Oh,
yes, selling the Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
You can sign your own name next to the signatures to amuse your friends and family. And, of course, the name they're signing in is
Bronkowitz.
Samuel L. Bronkowitz. Oh, I love that gag.
And it was like, what, the bit was the Cosmopolitan Museum of Art Metropolitan.
Yes.
Going out of business. They lost their lease. Everything must go.
And they were throwing in the Declaration of Independence free.
If you bought a sarcophagus appraised at millions for $20.
Oh, boy.
And, of course, we can't forget about the Pet House video.
Yes. Yes, that was, I mean, not only for the obvious reason, but it's also quite funny, too.
Oh, yes. It's, especially if you've ever seen the old Playboy videos.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they're walking around these random locations talking about, you know, their fantasies and what have you. It, you know, features the model nude walking around a shopping mall, an art museum. Sitting in
church.
And I think one other location, but I'm blanking.
Of course, my question is, where did she get the money to put into the offering?
Well, yeah. We don't want to take that.
All right. Oh, we haven't used the sound effects in a while. Oh, I guess we just did.
Well, yeah, a little earlier.
Anyway. The other one, of course, that would rank on... I'm surprised you haven't brought this one up yet either.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
hair looming?
No. You're.
I had to get that in there.
Blacks without soul.
Oh yes.
That would be the other one that I was having, like, well, wow, you know, it was
the other one I quote regularly.
Right. That is just such a great skit too, and really, David Alan Grier steals.
He owns that.
Yeah,
he arguably steals the entire movie. Yeah,
he does. They had to bring him back, you know.
And this was well before In Living Color.
Oh, right.
Before anybody knew who D.A.G. was.
It was a couple of years before. I think, what was Living Color, 89 or 90?
Let's see.
I think it was 80. It was somewhere around there.
For David Unger?
Of course, I mean, this was also a couple of years before the Arsenio Hall show.
Yeah, before, well, yeah, we should get to the names. In Living Color was... 90 to 94, so it was a few years.
Got it. All right,
but
so...
in addition to a few big names, you know, mostly well-known character actors.
Well, right, it's a ridiculous cast list here.
And B.B. King has a cameo in Blacks
Without right.
Soul.
Which, I mean, that also makes the skit, too.
Mm-hmm.
But B.B. King.
There's also a ton of people who were in this before they were well-known.
Yeah,
this sort of takes your B movie theory and just pushes it to the, you know, furthest end.
This wasn't really a B movie.
Well,
though.
There was nothing B about this, but we're talking
about Michelle Pfeiffer after Scarface.
But she still wasn't that known at that point.
Yeah, but I mean, she was still Michelle Pfeiffer. I think people.
But Ed Begley Jr. before anybody knew who he was.
Well, that I was wondering too.
Because, arguably. I think St. Elsewhere was around before this.
Right.
But
I thought St. Elsewhere was before this, and honestly, I think this was the end of Ed Begley's
career,
really.
But Arsenio Hall before
him,
the Arsenio Hall show.
But I did see that they had him listed as, like, a person who went on to do things after. I'm
yeah.
thinking, wait a minute.
Well,
he didn't do anything after this.
Yeah. But Arsenio Hall had the talk show. Joe Pantoliano, who has done a ton of small parts. He's one of those character actors, again, you
the Sopranos,
will recognize, but you don't know his name. Rosanna Arquette, who was kind of known, but not real, you know, not huge at that point.
Right.
Kelly Preston, before she married John Travolta. Because, let's face it, what else has she done? David Alan Grier before In Living Color. Steve Guttenberg was, I think, might have been the end for Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah, this was post-police. Actually, it was pre-Three Men and a Baby, so...
Oh, yeah,
he
so
still
was,
had a little bit, and Cocoon, or no, around the same time as Cocoon.
Mm.
St. Elsewhere went off the air in 88.
Okay, so he was, really was the height for...
Started in
82, Begley Jr.,
went off
yeah.
in 88, yeah, so this was pretty much... the end for him. After this, it was Disneyland and voice work for Batman the Animated Series.
Well, like many,
like
you
many,
know, typecasted actors, he went into voice work.
Yeah, and some guest spots here and there, but I mean,
should be noted that the French title of this movie is Cheeseburger Film Sandwich, because it is considered the sequel to Kentucky Fried Movie, which translated to Hamburger Film Sandwich.
Now, I saw the other, I was on the same site that you were, the other suggested title for this could have been, and they should have stuck with this, The Greatest Movie Ever Made.
Yes.
Because how funny would it have been, I mean, they wanted to use the quote for all the critics just saying the title.
Yes.
That it's the greatest movie ever
this
made.
This is the greatest movie ever made. We're talking about the greatest movie ever made, yes.
Yeah, even if the rest of it is, the greatest movie ever made is the worst. They could still just put that in there.
Right.
Out of context. And why didn't they? They should really...
Well, I think that was it the studio or the producers that vetoed
the
it?
Other producers said...
It was too cheap.
It's the best.
Oh, I love
who
it.
Who else could have pulled
it would have been
something
brilliant.
Like that off?
Yeah.
You have an idea like that, you have to go with it. Now, there's... of course, the reason why we ran out of things to talk about last week, because there really weren't that many people other than Bruce Campbell in that movie.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, you really could go on all day long.
Oh, yes.
My only question is, why did they get Joey Travolta? Why couldn't they have gotten Tony Danza to have played that part?
Which part?
the Brooklyn Dodger fan and the, you know, Butch.
Oh, okay.
The Amazon Women on the Moon.
Okay, that was Joey Travolta, okay.
Yeah.
I don't even recognize any of the other Travoltas at this point.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, he was, okay. There's a ton of people who could have played Butch. He's your typical, you know, Brooklyn...
Right.
Brooklyn guy, I mean, it's a stereotype.
Yeah. And of course, so far as cameos go... You had the roasting panel.
Oh,
for
yes.
Poor
that I'm almost I almost want to leave
Pitnick.
Yeah, Harvey Pitnick. I almost want to leave that panel as a surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the classic Friar's Roast panel. By classic, I mean old time.
Well, the one person, of course, that I will. The other person I will give, since I've referenced him earlier in another show, would of course be Rip Taylor.
Oh yes, yes.
I forgot which play or which movie screenplay I said was written by Rip Taylor. Probably, I think it was The Warriors.
Perhaps. Yes, yes.
The lesbians get it. We're just like you get. You feel like you're being beaten over the head with a script.
Mm.
And I just hear Rip Taylor's voice yelling that.
There were a ton of, in the deleted scenes, there were about 5 clips of him just messing with the wig.
Oh. Oh, I gotta get the deleted scenes.
Just, you know, fixing it, saying, it won't stay on.
And speaking of course, Harvey Pitnick, one of the parts I had to like pause the movie and go and look. They initially said he's from Skokie, Indiana, and I'm like, is there Skokie, Indiana? You see, Skokie is a town I worked in a couple of years ago, actually up until last year, and I had to look. Is there a Skokie, Indiana too? And then I didn't see it. I said, well, that's kind of weird, because I think they were from the area and everything. And so I went back and listened to it, and it was, of course, the one critic said, from Skokie, Indiana, and the other one goes, no, Illinois.
Oh.
Skokie, Illinois.
Nice.
But it was kind of hard to hear, because they were in the background bickering, like, 2 movie critics.
Yes. Now, the guy who played Harvey, another one of those character actors who I've seen in just about everything, I think, but... Nothing really rings a bell per se. Name is Archie Hahn.
Okay.
There was nothing particularly big he's done, but, you know, Gremlins 2, Night Court.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Doogie Howser. A lot of small parts. Lois and Clark, Alien Resurrection.
Yeah, a lot of these
Oh, he
people
did
have
voice work
worked.
there. Dr.
That
Dolittle, Small Soldiers. Yeah, he's another Bill Cobbs. He's done everything,
yeah.
including a ton of voice work.
Mostly TV, I'm thinking here, from what I see. You
Yeah, a
know,
lot of
Three's Company.
guest parts.
Wait a minute, who is he on Three's Company now? Now I
Barry
gotta look.
Randall, I don't know. It's been too long.
Okay.
The episode name doesn't even ring a bell.
Oh,
But
well.
and there's a few people like that. excuse me. The guy who gets locked in the TV.
Yeah,
Murray.
He's done a
Lou Jacoby
million
has
things.
Done, yeah.
He has been everywhere, that guy. I don't even need to look that up because you've seen this guy before. I don't
Yeah.
care, unless you were living in a cave somewhere for your whole life. So I think we've got just about
And Phil
every.
Hartman, I just noticed that.
Yeah, he was one of the baseball announcer for when he was wandering in the outfield. Yeah, I didn't find that bit all that
funny. It was amusing.
Funny.
It was the initial bit was slightly amusing.
Yeah.
The way they carried it through, I loved.
It was
another case like Don Russell Simmons where he reappeared throughout the movie.
Yeah, but because that one was so much funnier, you really didn't need a second running bit, kind of, you know? I mean, it was cool to bring him. They could have brought him into a couple different places.
Yeah. They underused it, I think.
I think they overused
Murray, really?
Murray. I think he appeared in too many places. I think it would have been funnier if it were just like a random, you know, like a couple skits, and that would have been it. But instead, you know, he was on the moon.
Yeah.
You know, he's in the of course, he was in the credits.
Yeah. The
yeah.
first credits, because there's a false ending.
Right, right. With of course the last thing with Carrie Fisher.
Reckless Youth. That's what it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a parody not of Reefer Madness, as you might think, but Sex Madness. There actually was a movie called Sex Madness, which was basically Reefer Madness, but about the dangers of sex as opposed to the dangers of marijuana.
Oh, boy. And I think we've got about, except for Andrew Dice Clay, I think we've mentioned all of the famous people
yeah.
that have that
and
came
again,
into this.
Clay wasn't really known at the time. This is before he really
right.
got famous.
This was definitely before Clay.
This
was
while he was
that.
Actually trying to act.
he
attempted to be a legitimate actor before he became a stand-up.
That was kind of funny just to see him trying to act there. You're going to have to live with this, too. Oh!
He did a few things before he tried stand-up, and he actually wasn't a bad actor.
Oh, I can't remember him in anything else, though.
He had a recurring part on Wise Guy, I think.
Did he?
I think so. That really dates us.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that show pretty well. But
there's a few other things he's
it.
Done. Well, let's see. Andrew Dice Clay.
They were just talking about him on
MASH.
Wait
Different
a minute.
Strokes.
Wait a minute. Andrew Dice Clay was on
Pretty
MASH.
In Pink.
All right. You know, I was wondering
Crime
if it
Story.
Was worth the lull in the... the show, but yeah, knowing that Andrew Dice Clay was on MASH.
Corporal, I can't even pronounce the name, Habowski, Trick or Treatment, the name is the name of the episode.
All right.
It's time for the 4077 Halloween Party. It was the Halloween Party episode.
Yeah.
With BJ, or Hawkeye Superman, that episode he was in.
So... And of course,
we both
remember
the episode, but don't remember Dice in it.
Wow. So it's not until 86 where he becomes Dice.
Well, he added the Dice at that point, but it really wasn't until the I'd say early 90s when he became the Dice Man.
It was Crime Story that he was on, and I think I
that's
remember
probably
him on
what
that.
I meant, what I was thinking of when I said. Wise Guy, okay.
So, yeah, that's just before he becomes...
the Dice Man.
Yeah. Because I think it was the movie Casual Sex. It was around that time where he was the comedian, yet he was in the movie.
Right. Yeah, that was... He was just starting to become known as a comedian when he did that one.
Yeah.
And well, we mentioned Begley. We can't forget about Son of the Invisible Man. Basically, the Invisible Man's son tries to recreate his formula, thinks he has it, he doesn't. And then it features Ed Begley Jr. walking around nude for,
Much too
oh,
much of a
5 minutes or
Begley
so.
Jr.
Yes. A bit too much for the R rating, I think, at one point. I'm not sure. I didn't look that closely, but I think there was something there.
Right, so we've done the cast list. I think we've done the trivia. Obviously, there's no point in
Oh,
remaking this.
one more bit of trivia I want to point out.
Sure.
There in the Titan Man sketch, did you notice the character names?
Not particularly, no.
George Bailey, Violet, Mr. Gower.
Oh.
All taken from It's a Wonderful Life.
Well, it is the nice, you know, old style drugstore pharmacy.
And I love when basically, scene is a guy walks into a drugstore to get condoms, but while he's on a date, turns out he is the hundredth, was it millionth customer?
Or billion, something like that.
Yeah, hundredth, millionth, whatever. Big banner drops down, confetti, yada yada. Name on these billboards holding the package.
Right, as much humiliation as you can
Yeah.
pile on
I
a
love
17-year-old kid.
the look of horror on his face as the marching band is coming in. Just before, because all these reporters file in and there's this marching band, and the look of horror on this guy's face was brilliant. Just before the girl he's on the date with walks in and then sees
Of
all
course.
the chaos and storms out, and he has no reason to use them.
Yeah, and of course it says he'll never use any other. Oh, sadness.
Let's see. I think we've covered the at least and most of the good, really good sketches too.
Yeah, I think there's I think we've covered
We
it
can, I
all.
mean, we
There's so
really can't go one
much.
by one. We'll go hours, but
Yeah, you would. So I don't think you it's useless to make a remake of this
oh,
because
you couldn't.
it's a lot of it's dated too, the video pirates and
Yeah.
stuff.
Well, you could actually. That's one thing. There were a couple of things, a couple of points I think were kind of prescient in this movie.
What's that?
The a two IDs sketch. Rosanna Arquette and
Oh,
Gutenberg.
yeah.
I think they were kind of ahead of their time in that one.
Yes, they were.
Basically, a woman has this about to go on a date with a guy. She asks for two forms of ID. She's got this machine that does a background check.
It's a dating background check,
Yes.
though, about how he's handled his women in the past.
You could actually do that these days.
That would be quite a valuable service.
But I mean,
It's
it's
probably a
actually
website
possible
somewhere.
now. Yeah, I'm sure somebody's selling the service. Also, the video pirates you mentioned. We were talking about the intro. You'd talked about the laser disc line.
Yeah.
You could easily say that. I mean, well, maybe not quite yet, but give it 5 years, you could say the same thing about Blu-ray.
Probably.
But overall, I mean, yeah, it's not so much that it's dated as you just don't. It is perfect for what it was.
Right. Now, of course, the other question is sequel. I
Well,
mean,
this was a sequel.
well, could they do another one to this?
They could certainly update it. I wouldn't want to see them try to redo these sketches.
Well,
But you
right.
could certainly
I'd want
take
to see some new sketches
you could certainly take their
strung around.
shtick and redo it. That's timeless.
Something strung through something else,
Yeah.
maybe. I mean,
You know,
this is
there's still be
10 years after Kentucky Fried Movie,
Mm-hmm.
and I mean, they should have done one every 10 years,
Yeah,
really.
because you could. I mean, they still have the B movies on on random cable channels in the
Yeah.
afternoon. You could easily, use that shtick to work in the sketches. That's timeless,
Right.
and just update them and do current stuff. Because there's certain things. Well, again, it should be pointed out. There's certain one thing about this that you will not happen these days. It is a classic 80s comedy. There is nudity.
Well, yeah.
And you just don't see that anymore.
That now it's with guys.
Well, I mean, oh God.
That's been the latest trend.
Good thing I haven't seen a movie in a while. Oh, aside from what we've been looking at, and they're not exactly current.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
But the question is, if they were to do a remake of this, can they? I mean, I guess if they've got the writers, they could come up with it. But I mean, I'm feeling like a lot of the stuff we've seen already, and you know,
yeah,
it's kind of tough to shock us.
Well, they kind of started it.
Yeah,
you would need the right writers.
For the time this was made, it was it was really
it was
out
genius.
There. Yeah. I mean, it's not quite Kentucky Fried Movie, I think.
See, I think there's where we have a slight discrepancy. I prefer this to Kentucky Fried. You prefer Kentucky Fried.
Yeah.
But you need writers who are on that same level, who can come up with the new version.
Because, I mean, this was probably a bit more out there than Kentucky Fried.
Mm-hmm.
But considering Kentucky Fried was made in 77.
Yes. Well, yeah. And was it out there? I mean, in terms of absurdity, maybe, but not. It didn't push any boundaries.
Kentucky Fried?
No, I'm saying Kentucky. No, I'm saying Amazon didn't. Kentucky
yeah.
Fried really pushed the boundaries. Pushed the envelope.
Like, there's nothing like that before.
No,
I think that wasn't that even before like movies like Animal House and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I think so. Or at least at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it was. It's just insane how that movie was for that time period. This one, I mean, this one's still good, but for its time period, it goes beyond it, but not in comparison to what Kentucky Fried did for its time period.
In terms of shock, no, definitely not.
Right.
But I think in terms of just the quality of, general overall quality, I think it was a little above, it was considerably above Kentucky Fried. Kentucky Fried was kind of big.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. They had no budget for that.
Mm.
And, of course, you can expect us to do Kentucky Fried sometime down
the road. Of course. Yeah, I don't think we need to say that.
But, you know.
Had we thought about it, we probably would have done them in a row. And
yeah, we probably
done Kentucky Fried first. But we will do that at some point in the future.
Right, right. But we don't have to do them all in chronological order. Sometimes
true.
It's good to be a little scatological.
Scatological, yeah.
Sometimes it's good to mix it up a bit.
Hmm.
So
brains?
Brains. I'm gonna go with 3.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Surprisingly low.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good comedy. I don't know how much of it stands up. I mean, there's some that I just think are great skits, and some are just kind of, you know, all right.
I'm going 5.
You're going 5.
I watched this a few years ago, watched it again last night. I could watch it again right now, love it just as much. It never gets old. I could watch it endlessly.
I think, I think I've only sat through this, the whole thing in its entirety. Maybe this is going to be the second time.
Mm-hmm.
I've mostly watched this in pieces.
I have it pretty much memorized at this point.
And that's the way to really do it. I mean, there are some skits here that I could watch over and over again. And there's some that are just kind of like, you know. All right, it was good SNL level stuff. But, you know, you can't see watching episodes of SNL repeatedly either.
Mm. So what have we learned?
Churchware just isn't the same anymore, is it?
I learned that Charlie Callis used to be somewhere lost it along the line. He wasn't as funny as everybody thought he was.
No, he's never that funny.
So until next week. Next week we will be doing. Well, it'll be on the blog. I don't remember. And I don't feel like bringing the page up.
Woo!
Until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life,
there you are.
Soma, get me out of here!
You do the line because you've got the snakes on a plane voice, so it's yours.
Oh, okay.
it's what? Never, sorry, yeah, we forgot to discuss that.
we never said who was taking the line.
I think we know what's going after the theme song.
Yeah.
Bullshit or not?